We're doing Merab Rachot. We're up to Yates and Bez. We'll dedicate our learning tonight to Eliza Bat Avraham. Marv Yudah Marav, we had learned. Rav Yudah said in the name Rav, I'm taking on the Bigdo Poshtan Afil Bashuk. If someone finds Kalim in their garment, then we learned yesterday, then they cannot remain with that garment, even if they're at a public place. The Pasuk defines for us that no wisdom stands when it's in contradiction with the mitzvahs of Hashem, with Hashem's Torah. Any instance where there would be desecration of Hashem's name, so then Hashem's honor comes before our own honor. So now we have a question on that. Let's say they buried someone, and now they're on their way back from the cemetery. And they come to a crossroads. There's a fork in the road, and they could take one of two paths to get back to town. Achat Torah v'achat Me'ah. One of the roads has a dead body buried there. It's a defiled path. And one of the roads is a pure path where there is no dead body. Ba b'teorah. Let's say the mourner, in his way back to town, takes the pure path. So then, ba'inimo b'teorah. So then everyone joins him. They accompany him down that path. Ba b'teorah. What happens if the mourner decides to take the defiled path back to town? Ba'inimo b'teorah mishum kvodo. Out of respect for the mourner, everyone joins him down that path, even though it means they will all become defiled. Amai, why do you say that? Why don't you say over here that nothing stands in the way of Hashem's mitzvos? The Kohanim aren't allowed to get defiled. Why would they go down that path? Let the mourner go himself. So what if it's a nice thing to honor the mourner? But Kohanim shouldn't get defiled. Why does everyone go down that path with him? Leave the Kohanim out? Tilgama Rabbi Abba bebeta pras de Rabbanan. So Rabbi Abba explained that braisa, when it says you accompany the mourner, even if he goes down a defiled path, that's talking about a beta pras. That's talking about a field where there was a grave a while ago, and they plowed up that field. And when they plowed up that field, the plow also crossed over the path. So technically, biblically, that path was never defiled. Rabbinically, the rabbi said, if they plowed up a field where there was a grave, so then chances are the bones were scattered all over. And we have to worry for an area called the Beta Paras. That large of an area, we have to assume that the bones were scattered in. And rabbinically, they said, we treat that whole area, the amount of area that's called Beit HaPras, we treat that as tameh, as rabbinically defiled. So being that it's only rabbinic, so then that's why we say that in honor of the mourner, we continue going with him. Even the Kohanim would accompany him down that path, because technically, biblically, that path is not defiled. So biblically, there's nothing withholding them. So it's only a rabbinic issue. So there we say, okay, so go down that path and accompany the mourner. Damar v'yudamar Shmuel, I'll prove to you that Beit HaPras is only defiled rabbinically, because Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Menapech Adam Beit HaPras v'olech. A person who has to go bring a paschal offering, and he has to cross through one of these fields where they plowed, even though there was a grave there, so that's a Beit HaPras. So technically, you don't know that there's a grave here. So it's not metame be'oil, even midrabanan. The only problem is, maybe you'll bump into a bone. So what a person can do, is a person could keep clearing the path before him. He could keep blowing away any leaves that might be on the ground before him, to ensure that he's not touching any bone, and then if he doesn't see any bone, he's not defiled. Meaning, the rabbis technically said, this whole area is defiled because we're concerned. Maybe you'll bump into bones. But if you could blow away any leaf that might be in your way and see where you're stepping and ensure that you're not stepping on any bones, so then it's not tameh. So you see, the whole concept of a Beit HaPras is only rabbinic. And I'll bring you another proof. Rav Yehuda Barashi said in the name of Rav, Beit HaPras Shenidash. Let's say you have a Beit HaPras, But thousands of people have already walked that area. So if there were any bones around, they've been beat into the ground. You don't have to worry, you're going to bump into any bones. So then toho. So then that Beit HaPras is already pure. So you see, the whole concept of a Beit HaPras is rabbinic, and that's why it has these leniencies. Okay, so the original concept we said is that even in a situation where a person would be uncomfortable, a situation where which might be undignified for a person, a person would not transgress a biblical mitzvah. But if it's a rabbinical issue, so then a person's dignity can come first. So now we're continuing to try and bring proofs as to whether this is true, that when I have a biblical mitzvah versus a person's own dignity, the biblical mitzvah comes first. Tashma damar bi razal bar tzadok, Rabbi Lazar bar tzadok tot. Medelgin einu al gabe ahonot, we kohanim used to skip on the coffins shel meitim that had deceased people inside, likat malchei Yisrael, when we'd go to greet Jewish kings, v'lo likat malchei Yisrael bilvad, and not only towards Jewish kings, el afilu likat malchei Akum, but even to greet pagan kings. Shem yizkei avchin ben malchei Yisrael. I skipped, I'm sorry. No, I didn't. She'im yizkei yevchin ben malchei Yisrael and malchei Akum. Because if a person merits to see the Mashiach, then he will discern the difference between Melech Yisrael and the pagan king. Amai, why would they skip over the coffins if they were Kohanim? Le'men chuchma ben puna ben itza le'neged Hashem. Why don't you say that honoring the king is a question of dignity, and that doesn't supersede the biblical prohibition of becoming defiled. Answers the Gemara, Kederava, Damarava, Dvar Torah, Oel Kol Sheyesh Bo Chalal Tefach, Chotzetz Bifnei Atuma. Technically, once you have a space of a tefach, and then you have a covering, the tumah doesn't continue going. The tumah stops at that covering. V'shein Bo Chalal Tefach, Eino Chotzetz Bifnei Atuma. If you don't have a space of a tefach, then the tumah continues going. The tumah penetrates and keeps shooting forward. And most coffins have a hollow, have a space of a tefach between the deceased and the cover of the coffin. And technically, if you're over the coffin, if you skip over the coffin, one is not defiled because the second there's a gap of a tefach and then a cover, so the tumah doesn't penetrate. And being that most coffins have that would be okay. Because well, sheyesh ben mishum shein ben. And rabbinically, the rabbi said, well, being that there are some coffins that you do not have a space of a tefach, so we will make a rabbinic decree that all coffins are considered tameh, that it's considered that the tumah really penetrates and goes till the sky, even though most coffins biblically do not have that tumah, being that some do, being that some coffins do not have a tefach space, and then biblically the tumah penetrates. So we will say rabbinically that all coffins have tumah penetrating, even if they do have a space of a tefach. And in situations where it comes in conflict with the honor of the king, so there the rabbis did not make such a decree. Over here the Gemara, you'll notice, gave a different answer than previously. Beforehand, the Gemara said it's rabbinic and dignity supersedes rabbinics. Here, the Gemara doesn't say, well, the honor of the king supersedes rabbinics. Here, what the Gemara says is, the rabbis never decreed in a situation where it comes in conflict with the honor of kings. Because technically, you'd say, big deal, go around. Big deal, find another way to get there. You don't have to skip over a coffin. So the reason they were able to apply this leniency is because there is no such institution in such a case. If it's coming in conflict with the honor of a king, so then the rabbis did not make this institution. And you always have to note when you enter a sugya like this, which way is the Gemara saying? Sometimes the Gemara says, "B'makom tzar lo gozru rabbanan, b'makom holy lo gozru rabbanan." We say on a fast day, if a person is ill, then there is no rabbinic institution. Meaning, if a person is ill and he's going to fast, he didn't even do a rabbinic mitzvah, because where you have this circumstance, so then there is no rabbinic institution. It's not that you could be lenient and you could be stringent. It's that the rabbinic institution doesn't exist. Two different halachos. Safek tzoa. We're going to see Gemara later on. There are situations where we say, in a situation of doubt, you may be lenient. And then we say there are situations where, when in doubt, there's no prohibition to begin with. You always have to note which one the Gemara says. And then the question is there a point in being more stringent? Or like in the case of the fast, there's no point. There is no fast. Or in this case, they didn't even make an institution for such a case.